You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to ScamWow.
Hi, welcome to ScamWow.
I'm Sue Smith.
I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
And we love scams. Big scams, little scams.
All the scams. Scams that your mother did for you to get you to eat your vegetables.
Scams that your father did on people, on maybe your mom, to get him to marry you.
You know what? But it's a good story.
It is a scam.
She probably hated every moment of it, but you know what? Then they got married.
Yeah, my dad got deported from Canada.
No.
My
mom. For your mom?
So my dad was working in a tire factory in Toronto, I think.
Okay.
And he met my mom in Toronto, and then, because my mom's Canadian and her family's Canadian, and then he got deported because he wasn't supposed to be working because it was another country.
So is he American?
He's American. Mm-hmm. So he got deported, and then my mom came to the U.S., and I realized just recently that they got married so that she could get a green card, which I didn't really realize. They got married after just 3 months of knowing each other.
Wow.
And it was bad. Yeah.
That's a rough place.
That's
a rough place to start.
Yeah.
But it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also, in my mind, I would think if somebody, I would totally marry a boyfriend or girlfriend for a green card. Like, to me also, that doesn't sound that terrible.
Yeah.
It probably is.
I think it's really intense. The monetary value of a green card.
Yeah.
I would do it for several thousand dollars for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why not? Dual citizenship?
Mm.
I think there's something, if you have a grandparent that is from certain countries, you can get dual citizenship.
I'm trying to get my Canadian one.
Oh, get it.
I'm really trying.
Oh my God, get it.
We are so screwed.
Yes, get it.
Yeah.
My grandmother is British, so I never went after it, but I was like, I could probably get a dual citizenship and get the hell out of here, too.
Get that sweet EU passport.
I know. And then I could, can I grandfather in my kid?
Yeah.
I just want him to have the freedom to escape.
No, we all need an escape route.
We all need an escape route.
In these times.
It's the most important.
How was your week in scams?
My week in scams. So recording this podcast, I've realized like how many scams I have pulled because we'll be talking about scams and I'm like, oh, I did that.
Mm.
And I'm afraid I'm a terrible person. I always thought of myself as a nice person.
No.
But I scammed a lot. Not scammed with malicious intent, just like my mom always called me scrappy. Like out of all of her kids, she's like, Kate, I could put you anywhere in the world and you'd figure it out.
Yeah.
And at first I was like very sensitive to the fact that my mom would worry about my other siblings. Or at first I thought, you know, she didn't really, why isn't she caring? And then she explained to me like, you're scrappy. You'll figure it out. And I do.
Yeah.
I was very proud when she said that. Yeah. So I think I just have scraped by.
I scrapped by.
I scrapped
by. Wait, how long have you lived in New York?
I think 12 years.
Okay. Yeah. So I've been here so long and I feel like I'm going to be, when I move to LA, I'm going to be like a fish out of water, yes. You know, because I've just been in this weird foreign country for so long. I'm not even a person. Like, yes. All I wear is black.
I know.
I'm going to like unthaw.
And you're going to be incredibly exotic too. Oh, you're going to be there in all black and they're going to be like, who is this like fast talking New Yorker who's pushed her way past me in Target?
No, I hope that I like lose that.
No, you will. Oh my God. Are you getting really excited?
No, I'm getting stressed out and a little sick.
Like ill?
Yeah.
A stomach sick or like a sinus infection?
Sinus-y.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I've been there. I have a gig this week where I'm going to Chicago to do a speaking gig and it makes me so tense. Even though I've done the I've done the same speech. I'm very confident in it. I'm relaxed about setting everything up before and after. And I have total faith that it'll go well and I'll provide what the company needs. And I know what they need and I know what to provide in the speaking gig. But leading up to it, I am so incredibly tense.
Is it the logistics of traveling?
It's a little bit the logistics. We're flying. I don't know why I did this myself. I thought it was a great idea. We're flying for the first time with my 8-month-old son.
Oh.
For a speaking gig that is like a very big gig. One of the bigger ones I've had. But, you know, he's going to Chicago. We're going to see our friends from Chicago we haven't seen and who haven't met him yet. And so we're excited. It's going to be like a big family trip. But on that, I am completely focused and a little bit obsessed with this gig I have to do.
With the gig itself or the logistics, though?
The gig itself.
Really?
Like there's that thing of people are paying you to do a keynote speech. And even though my speeches, they all sort of overlap, I focus them a little bit more as to what the company wants.
Yeah.
So I can do the general message of self-care, standing up against the establishment, you know, being a strong, powerful woman. But then I focus on specific breast cancer prevention or specifically like your genetic makeup and talking about genetic counselors or how to rally for yourself? Is that what it's called? Or like
advocate
for yourself against doctors who are, you know, telling you to do something else. So there's always a way I can focus it, which will really help them. So I'm just always nervous about that small detail. And I want them to like me. It just comes down to like, I really hope they like me.
I think you were born to be like a motivational speaker. You're perfect
for that.
I love
it. It feels so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you. But it feels really, really fun to just go in and it's basically the same thing I would say to a friend over coffee. So it's very like comforting and easy in that way. Mm-hmm. But I am an overshare. Like I'll just like talk about, I'll just like let it all out. And then people are like, wow, you're so open and honest. And I'm like, well, I have some time to kill. So I'm just going to keep going. If you give me 45 minutes, you're going to hear it all.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't help.
Exactly.
But I'm excited for, so you're going there to LA.
Yes.
And you're going to be there for how many months before your group comes back out with you?
Probably, I don't know, 1 month or 6 weeks.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so luxurious to me right now.
Really?
Coming from a place with babies and dogs and life and a crappy apartment that's bathroom ceiling is crumbling. It sounds so nice to just have 100% undivided attention for yourself and space. Like you have so much space for
and
yourself.
Sunshine. Mm-hmm. I think New York is a scam. I think it's one big scam. Scams you into thinking that it's the best city and there's nowhere else. And that's what it does to you.
I know. And that's why I'm going to live here forever. This scam is called the Affair of the Diamond Necklace. It was an incident in 1785 at the court of King Louis the
XVI
of France, involving his wife, Marie Antoinette. Okay, so I love this because, to set up the scene, Marie Antoinette is already hated by everyone because it's the beginning. This is right before the French Revolution.
Is she let them eat cake? Is that her?
She's let them eat cake. And that she apparently actually didn't really say that, but she was quoted as saying that and then people just ran with it. So she was very extravagant. If you've seen any of the Marie Antoinette movies by Sofia Coppola.
And I have.
Yes. Clearly, Marie Antoinette was just very unhappy. Kristen Dunst was just very unhappy.
This reminds me of Sofia Coppola film called The Bling Ring.
Ooh. Scams?
It's about stealing jewelry.
I love it. Okay. So basically what happened is Jeanne de Saint-Remy de Voila. Voyas? Guys, I'm dyslexic, okay? Just Google it yourself.
How do you spell it?
V-O-L-V-A-L-O-I-S.
Valet?
Valet Saint-Remy. Okay. Cool. Also known as Jeanne de la Motte. So she basically had this plan. She was obsessed with Marie Antoinette. And so apparently at that time, if you could get dressed up, be in regular clothes and sort of like walk around the grounds to around the French court.
Okay.
And she constantly wanted to check in and be connected with Marie Antoinette. And Marie Antoinette was like, no, thanks, bitch. Like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
She had like a shady past and Marie Antoinette knew about it and just wasn't into it.
So she was like a fangirl.
A huge fangirl. Okay. Yes. So she got married to this other wealthy man.
And was she a sex worker? Or she was just like, had some fun. I mean, it's her business.
I haven't read that part.
You know what
yet.
I mean? Like, whatever she wants to do is fine. And yeah. I'm not judging it.
Yeah, no. I haven't read that part yet.
Okay.
But I think it was like something like inscrupulous or whatever that word is. So she was married to a man and they were not happy. And so she had other extramarital affairs, but it didn't matter. So basically, there was this gorgeous necklace that this woman, Jeanne, wanted. And Marie Antoinette and her husband were the only ones who could actually afford it. It was so expensive. It was a very elaborate necklace. You can look at it online. It's gorgeous. Filled with diamonds. It was just so expensive. And Marie Antoinette also at that time just didn't, I don't think she wanted the publicity again. Like things were pretty much against her. She didn't want to then get this.
It's going to be a bad look if she buys this huge diamond.
Right.
Okay.
So this woman, Jeanne, created basically a plan and she said to this jeweler, oh, no, believe me. Like I'm connected with Marie Antoinette. Like I'm like her like confidant. We do things on the DL. Like you give it to me and then we'll pay. And procured it under the pretense that Marie Antoinette wanted it.
That's kind of badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then her husband sold all of the diamonds. Yeah. There was also a prostitute that was involved that was arrested because, a male gigolo was Jeanne's lover. And he confessed that he had handwritten letters in the queen's name. So he would forge things in the queen's name. I mean, they went into legitimacy to explain that Marie Antoinette wanted this.
But they were just like fangirls without any real connection to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing really.
Cool.
And so basically it was true that she was at fault. They figured out that it was a fault. I mean, they tried to sell the diamonds. It was like this big, huge hoopla. But because of this, everyone blamed Marie Antoinette, even though she wasn't involved in it at all. And they said that this was one of the huge impetuses for starting the French Revolution.
Why?
And it was just adding to the fact that everybody hated her. Everybody was so mad at her.
Yeah.
Now, Jeanne got exiled. She escaped. She took refuge in London. And eventually she died there. She published a memoir all about it where she, again, accused the queen, who was completely not at fault. But it really started to create everybody even more getting against Marie Antoinette. And then it led to the French Revolution as well as other things. But
Marie Antoinette just out here trying to live her life.
Live her rich life with her macarons.
Like wear some gowns, you know? And then she got all these people trying to like steal diamonds. Yeah.
And so
being a queen or whatever she was is a burden. I'm telling you that.
So basically, it just added more to the gossip. And
that
was something that just like fueled everyone to be like, no, fuck the monarchy, which fuck the monarchy.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You shouldn't be starving in the streets and it's fine. But this was a historic scandal because it was one of the huge, just another like chip at how terrible the monarchy was.
Got it.
Because Marie Antoinette refused to accept it. It was a huge issue.
Wait, refused to accept. Why did people get mad though? So like she stole the diamond and said, oh, Marie Antoinette's going to pay you for this.
So everything was signed. So according to Jeanne pretended to be the queen and used her gigolo to forge letters and sent several letters to the cardinal, including an order to buy the necklace. They were all signed Marie Antoinette of France.
Got it.
So So it says here in Wikipedia, the cardinal either did not know or did not remember that the French queen signed with their given names only. Mm. So it was even signed incorrectly. Yeah, it was incorrect. And so then, sorry, pause.
I wish I could just go to my jeweler and be like, here's a letter from my mom. Buy me this.
So Jeanne's husband secretly took the necklace to London, where it was broken up and sold into individual diamonds separately.
Diamonds are good.
Diamonds. Okay, wait. There is this. So I'm listening to other podcasts as well. And there's this new company that is making chemically based diamonds.
I've heard that ad. Yeah.
And I want those because they're not blood diamonds.
I want them
but
all.
But then it's like, do I just want a piece of plastic? I mean, if it's like chemically made, like, is it really? I don't know. It's so interesting.
I want all the diamonds. I don't care.
I do want all of the diamonds. Yeah. So I think.
Which are also a scam because they're not really that valuable. They're only that valuable because we want them.
We say it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a love for diamonds because my Bobby and Poppy were huge. My Poppy, so Yiddish, my family was Yiddish for grandpa, was friends with a jeweler. And so they had amazing jewelry, huge diamonds.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Nice.
I got my Bobby's jewelry. And so it was just so, in my family, it was just so coveted. It was so adored. And, you know, I mean, they were struggling. Like, my Poppy had a bar. He worked two jobs. Like, he'd work the night shift and then wake up and then work and, like, sell door-to-door gum salesman, like, Chiclet gum. And, like, my Bobby had three kids. And they just, like, they were of, like, regular means. Yeah. Just trying to do the best I can. Family of, like, immigrants fleeing Russia. Like, rough times. And so, to them, diamonds were so special. Mm-hmm. And so then growing up, like, hearing how special it was to them, then that, you know, those, it was really those pieces, like other diamonds, new diamonds. Yes, of course I love diamonds, but yeah. It was those, her pieces of jewelry that meant so much to me.
Yeah, I got some stuff from my grandma that I'm like, yes, it's amazing. Because it's stuff that I saw her wear all the time, you know, it just makes me think of her.
I know. Well, I actually went to a jeweler and he said that my grandmother's setting is kind of falling apart because she used to have one of those diamond rings that then had a setting around it. It was like a three, it was like two.
Yep.
It was like a combo. And it hit it so many times because she wore it all the time that he said it was actually thinning the platinum. And I was like, you're going to make me buy a setting. You're going to scam me.
I have this jeweler. I like small dainty things.
Yes, I love
And
them.
She, every time I talk to her, I was like, I want very small diamond studs for $200.
Yeah.
And she was like, I've never made them this small. I mean, maybe like for babies. She always like puts me down for how small I want my jewelry.
Does she wear huge jewels? Like, do you see her rocking thing?
No, but she did make Mariah Carey's most recent diamond engagement ring.
Really?
Yeah, she's a friend of Anna Caligari's.
Oh, well, could you say to her, like, it's for a friend's baby next time? A friend's baby's nose
just
ring.
Just to get her off my back.
Just like stop
so
the pressure.
So she can stop diamond shaming me.
It's a friend's baby. She's a size 6. It's a fat baby.
She's fat. Like, she's got these big old earlobes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge name. Huge hands.
Huge hands.
Yeah, so that's the diamond necklace. And you can read more of all of this on Wikipedia.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So this game that I picked is called Nexium. Have you heard of this?
Yes, but I don't know where.
It's a cult.
Okay. I thought it was a hair product.
That's Nexus. Okay. But close. Yeah, close. Nexium is spelled N-X-I-V-M, mm-hmm. of course, because it's like, why have a vowel? Why have an appropriate vowel, you know? And so it became a... It started as like a motivational speaker... Empowerment. Your job. No. Motivational classes, not like self improvement, empowerment, betterment, this kind of thing. But
is this with the girl from Smallville?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so into this. Okay.
With Allison Mack. Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy who started it is called Keith Raniere. Mm-hmm. He is a psychopath and a sociopath. He just is one of these people that thinks he's very smart and, you know, is a genius and people look up to him because he's a white guy. And
yeah, I was just going to say, he's white.
He's white. Obviously, he's white. And he seems like an English professor. This is his vibe. Okay. So he gets out of college. You know, he gets some advanced degrees in Rochester. He gets into Amway first.
What's Amway?
Amway is a multi-level marketing. It was kind of like an Avon where it's like a door-to-door sales kind of thing.
Okay.
But for like household products.
Okay. Not the knives one.
That's Cutco.
Okay. So this is just general household products.
Yes.
But it is door-to-door like Cutco.
Yeah. Similar. Okay. But Amway is a multi-level, full-on multi-level marketing, has nothing to do with like bettering yourself or whatever. Mm-hmm. He leaves Amway and then starts his own thing called Executive Success Programs in 1998 with this woman named Nancy Salzman, which I'm very suspicious of anything with a broad executive, like a broad term like that. Mm-hmm, like anytime that something's not telling you what they're doing, like executive success, I'm like, you're sketchy.
Yeah, it's just two weird adjectives.
Yeah, very sketchy. And it's very like, I think it's a very kind of...
The pug's very upset. The podcast pug is not liking this scheme.
I know. He is not.
We have growls.
Okay. So I'm just going to read a description of it because it's so like...
I'm into it.
Nebulous. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read a description of it.
We'll see if we can get a handle on it. We probably can.
It's hard to get your hand around. It's a sex cult.
It's a sex cult?
Yeah. It goes into sex. Okay.
So gross.
Nexium is a community guided by humanitarian principles, this is from their website, that seek to empower people and answer important questions about what it means to be a human. The Nexium philosophy is expressed through a series of companies and initiatives, all of which are designed to broaden the way we currently think about problems and to create solutions of a kinder, more sustainable, ethical world. Like, shut up. Yeah, with unique tools that facilitate success, both internally and externally, Nexium helps people realize the potential that exists within them. What does that mean? What does any of that mean?
Yeah, that could be like to realize that you're a fortune teller or to realize that you're good at math or like it could be any. It's so generic.
Yeah, so generic. And it's so like, so the way that there isn't a lot out there on like how it's pyramid schemey, but it does get that way.
So he created this first cult. Is that over? First company with that woman?
Yeah, Amway is over. Nexium Executive Success Program is a branch of Nexium. So Nexium is like the big guy, and then there's Executive Success Programs, and then there's Jeunesse, which is the women's program, and then there's some protector one, which is the men's program.
So he created Nexium.
Yeah.
So he learned from Amway, whatever. He went with this woman. Is she with him at Nexium?
Yes, but then she breaks away from him because he's a fucking weird fraud.
Okay, so then he starts next to him, and they have different branches, men, women, general. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's one for children as well.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's called, like, Children Universal or something like that. Yeah. So, and it's kind of like Landmark Forum. I don't know if you've ever heard
don't
of
that. What that is.
So they used to have like these brochures on the street, like mm-hmm. in one of those boxes,
yeah.
you know, where you pull down the handle and you get a newsprint brochure and yeah. you take all these classes and self-improvement. And it's just classes and classes and classes on a road to nowhere.
Okay.
You know, like, because you can always work on improving yourself.
Yes.
So I read one article in Refinery 29, which someone was in their like, Higher Education University, it's called, which is $5,000 a month.
And it's not NXIVM. This is a different thing.
This is a part of NXIVM.
Okay.
Because NXIVM has all these like little sub parts, right?
Okay.
So it was like executive university or something, or higher.
Okay.
Higher university, $5,000.
And they cost money. They're not just group meetups.
They're just not. No. And so, and then they have retreats, and the retreats cost up to like 10 grand. And they're in with the president of Mexico's daughter.
Okay.
Who's like in it. So they have all this property in Mexico, but they're headquartered upstate, like near Albany. It's so hard to explain because this isn't linear at all. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a lot that's known about it. So their websites and stuff are still up.
But they just recently got in trouble, right?
They just recently got in trouble. So I think the way that he manipulates people is similar to Scientology, where you confess all your secrets.
Yeah.
And then he has that, you
yeah,
know?
He has something on you.
And then you have to send him blackmail stuff to hold right. yourself accountable so that you'll do the goals that you set for yourself and all this stuff.
Right. So he's just gathering more and more like garbage on people to mm-hmm. freak them out so that then they are like his little personal slaves.
Yeah, exactly. And like, so then they can't leave because he will blackmail them.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I think is extortion. So all these people get involved.
And isn't there a branch in Brooklyn?
No, they are in the jail in Brooklyn.
Okay, because I thought there were like, I thought that, so I read like a very quick thing a while ago that there were like these really young, cool, funky Brooklyn girls that are involved in it, and they get each other, and they bring each other into classes, and they try to better each other, and then it turns out it's a part of this very creepy scheme.
I think that's what it is. It doesn't seem that cool. It seems a little cool.
Yeah.
So like the people involved, it says Richard Branson, Allison Mack, Linda Evans, and then, but Richard Branson later denies it. And then, but the big people involved that are like bankrolling this thing are Claire and Sarah Bronfman,
mm-hmm.
who are the daughters of Edgar Bronfman, who is the Seagram's fortune guy. So they're so wealthy. And Hannah Bronfman, who is like a social media influencer.
Okay.
She's gorgeous. She's like a fitness influencer. But like Claire and Sarah are like bankrolling this whole thing, paying all the legal fees and buying tons and tons of real estate for him.
Still?
I don't know. Still, Claire was arrested for trafficking or for wire fraud, I believe. So, okay. So what happens is DOS, the women's part, which stands for like Dominus Obsequious or some bullshit.
I hate it.
You know,
it.
I mm-hmm. hate when people are like so pretentious like that.
I know.
Okay. So there's this DOS ceremony where there's all these women who and you have to get branded, right? There's all these women there and you have to get branded, and there's a ceremony and it's a ritual. And this girl, Sarah Edmondson, goes in, and she's like been the voice who's speaking out against NXIVM, and she's been the most vocal and just telling her story. And she told her story in the New York Times. So you go in, and then she was like, they told her she was going to get a tattoo, and she was like, I don't want a tattoo. She was like, I don't want anything on my body. And then they convinced her to do it, and they were like, no, just do it. Just, you know, push through the pain, make yourself push through the pain.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And it's mind over matter, that kind of thing. And then she gets this branding, and she realizes, and it's like right kind of like by her vagina, like above her pubic bone. And she realizes that it's Keith's initials and Allison's initials. So Keith Raniere and Allison Mack's initials on her body, which she doesn't realize until later. And it's like branding, like with a laser in somebody's house. And she says the pain is just completely unbearable and completely crazy. So after that, that's when Keith Raniere and Allison Mack get arrested when she goes public with her story.
Okay, good.
So she decides to leave the cult. And this is from, there's a very good CBC podcast called Escaping Nexium, where she tells her story in six parts. So good. So she tells her husband, when she realizes it's their initials, she tells her husband, she was like, I think I have their initials. And they both get so mad and they get upset. And then she decides to publicly leave. And she's afraid to tell her story because they have all this collateral on her, right, over like her like naked pictures or whatever.
Of course.
So she's super afraid. So she goes to the New York Times, though.
Great.
She like stands up and speaks out and goes to the New York Times and like tells this whole story about what's going on. And then the FBI charges Keith Raniere with sex trafficking, I believe like wire fraud, all this kind of stuff. So then he was being held in Brooklyn. I think he's still being held, but Allison Mack is out on bail in California living with her parents. Ugh. Yeah.
And so there is, so when you said it was like a sex cult, so there is sex trafficking involved in this.
I'm not clear what that means. I think
because I read a little bit and I could be wrong. And I'm sure there is a reader, I mean, a listener who knows what's going on. So please call us. We'll have the phone at the end. But I believe that there was also a cult that provided parties for rich men. So like the Richard Bransons, like these like money men that you would come and these women would then, who were a part of the cult, would then perform sex acts or be sort of there for hire for these men.
So it's hard to source the material because there aren't that many people speaking out. So Sarah Edmondson, this lady from the podcast, is the only one that's being super vocal about her story. So it's hard to say. For the sex trafficking, I know that this guy Keith had multiple partners and that was like his thing, and he coerced people because he called himself, I don't know, the prefect or the god, or he had some kind of name where he was like the almighty like cult leader or whatever. So like he would try to get all these girls would sleep with him, and he made it known that he had multiple partners. But I don't know about coercion, and I don't know.
Well, and then I know that Alex was with him too. Like he had her then be his proxy and bring other girls in.
Yeah, Allison Mack.
Alex Mack, the
from the 90s
girl
TV
who
show.
Melts into liquid.
A puddle. Yeah.
Who I love.
She was recruiting people into this thing, DOS, the women's cult. She was recruiting people into that. And there's this taped conversation where Sarah is talking to a woman and she was like, does Keith know about everything that's going on in DOS? And she's very vague. The woman she's talking to is very vague about it, but it sounds like he does know what's going on. And it is a way for him to like puppet master all the women within the cult as well.
Right.
So it's very strange. And it's very nebulous. You know what I mean? Like, you think you're working on yourself. You're, like, paying all this money to become a better person. You know what I mean? And then, like, you wake up, like, it sounds like with Sarah, she was an actor and she wanted to, like, get better at her craft and see what's, like, blocking her from success. And, like, I relate to that, you know?
For sure.
So she's, like, paying this money to work on herself. And then she wakes up in, like, 5 years. She's like, oh, fuck, I'm in a cult. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
You go down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's also, I mean, it's very much preying on people. Like, everybody wants to better themselves. That's why Oprah's so successful. That's why people, you know, have therapists, everything. Like, everybody wants to get better and be better. And then there are people that completely prey on that. And they're like, oh, you want to be better? I'll show you how to do it. And it'll be to my benefit. And I'll take your money. And when you have a sociopath who's convinced that they know the way.
Yeah.
Then they are also, there's this thing with like sociopaths that there's this confidence of they're like, well, of course I have the answer. And when you're looking for something, when somebody so calmly explains to you, they know the answer and it's worked for them, it's the most comforting thing you can find.
It's so nice when someone's like, yeah, it's going to be okay. I know how.
Yeah. And also like speaking from an actress, like if somebody like Allison Mack, who's not been in anything since Smallville.
2011.
She could clearly come and be like, look, I'm a Hollywood actress. I get Hollywood. If you're trying to get into Hollywood, if you're nervous about, like me, nervous about moving to LA, nervous about making changes, I would completely be susceptible to that, at least to a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, then when it comes to the branding thing, that's like so scary and creepy. But the group really, The group mind is so powerful. Like when you have 15 other people staring at you and being like, you're crazy, we all agree. That is so overwhelming to a person because, and especially women, we are raised with so much. It is like, it's looked upon proudly to have a little bit of self-doubt, mm-hmm. be accommodating, mm-hmm. Not be an egocentric person, see how you can be better. How can you make the group more comfortable?
Yeah.
Sort of be this, it's not socialite, but sort of be like a hostess, mm-hmm. an emotional hostess to mm-hmm. other people.
No, definitely.
And so we're raised to do that because you don't want the girl who's the obnoxious girl who thinks she's right and just plows through everything.
Yeah.
That's looked down upon.
Yeah. So there's a very good article from Vanity Fair in, I think, 2011 called The Heiresses and the Cult, and it's about the Bronfman sisters. And they're very smart, like very educated people. Like, it's not that dumb people join cults. No. They're very smart.
And I feel like sometimes it's very smart people with a lot of money and there's not that much to do.
Yeah.
And I think in life, even though I hate struggling, we need a struggle. Like a struggle really keeps you honest. It keeps you going. It keeps you motivated. It keeps you angry and a little bit.
You need a purpose.
You know? And so when you have many things taken away that, like, I wish I was a millionaire. I was the most beautiful person in the world. I had the easiest thing. I was the smartest person. But then when you have all of those obstacles taken away, there is this restlessness.
Yeah.
And you could very easily join a cult, join something. I think there's also something about, like, I'm like therapizing them. But like, there's also something about having so much and feeling like a little bit, like you want to have a little bit of a struggle too. Like I know that feeling of like being so entitled, like not entitled. Like
privileged.
Yes, having so much. And then going like, well, I want to have that struggle that I see everybody else having.
Yeah.
So you want to work on something. You want to work on yourself.
Yeah. I not that this is the same struggle, but I've been watching a lot of Teen Mom.
Yeah.
And these teens are so rich from being on that show for 10 years, you know, and they don't have anything to do with their lives. So like literally they're just like sitting all around all day. Two of them have t-shirt lines, you know what I mean?
So Teen Mom is now taking where they were. So they're checking up on the moms. It's not new Teen Mom.
No, they've been on this show for 10 years. Like the same Teen Moms.
I thought it was like more, I thought they were like accumulating more and more teens.
No. Same Teen Moms for like 10 years.
Oh.
So, but you see this like kind of like aimlessness in these people. They like have money they're taken care of, but they don't have a purpose.
Yes.
You know?
Well, my husband says he never wants to be super rich. I disagree, but he's like,
I mean, I want to be rich.
Firmly disagree. I do want to be a little aimless, but no, he really believes that having that need and having that push just really helps you go.
Totally. Absolutely.
Through life and be better.
Yeah. And I just think that we think of cult people as dumb. And that's
you're right.
Not true.
Well, there is this idea of like being susceptible to something or like how could you be duped by such a dumb, you know, idiots or whatever. But the community mind, like the hive mind is so powerful.
Well, and also, okay, so when Sarah's telling her story of like getting forced to sit down and like lay down and get branded.
Oh my God.
I feel like.
Such a violation.
It's such a violation, but I feel like, you know. In other areas, like there are, like I'm in a 12-step program and that always teaches you that you are in the wrong. Like if something is wrong, mm-hmm. find your part in it and fix it. And
exactly.
You know what I mean? So like these women are holding her down and telling her that she just needs to overcome it. And that it's like.
And the pain is wrong. Like the pain is mental.
Yeah.
And that it's her fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally relate to that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And also I have that too, where if I'm very angry at something or if I'm upset, I do turn it on myself.
Totally.
And if I'm unhappy with something or something feels unjust, like, yes, there's the politics, which is just outrageous. I don't feel that way. But if something of like, I don't like the way I look or I don't like the way I'm being or I don't like where my career is, it's totally my fault. Mm-hmm. It's all me. How can I get better? And I'm completely somebody who's susceptible to signing up for like a 7-year gym membership. I mean, I'm just so easily could do that as well.
For sure. And it's like, it's really hard to know when you're being abused when everyone else around you is experiencing the same thing.
And then also when you have these leaders, like these very wealthy, beautiful women who are telling you like, look, this is possible for you.
Yeah.
Really, they have no idea or concept of how an average person could become like an heiress, but they make this feeling that it it is possible.
Yeah.
But I will say that is so creepy. And I feel like this is just something, this whole story is just going to keep, there's going to be multiple, multiple layers. But also, I think when you have something this large and powerful people behind it, a part of it's going to keep going because they firmly believe in it.
I don't know.
Scientology keeps going.
But there has to be an end point where, like, Sarah Bronfman runs out of money or something like that. Or, like, where people stop bankrolling them. Okay. I heard on this Escaping Nexium podcast, I had an interview with Keith Raniere's lawyer, and the guy was like, who's paying you? And he was like, I don't know. It's a trust. It's a trust in Manhattan. And then the interviewer was like, who owns the trust? And he was like, it ended up being the Bronfman estate or whatever.
Right, because it is technically probably public knowledge.
Yeah.
But they don't let it out right away.
But they got to run out of money. Like, this Vanity Fair article said they put millions and millions of dollars
into
this.
But these are super rich people.
Super rich people, yeah.
So they might run out of money in 45 years. I mean, it's like, that's how long it could go. Yes, this is ScamWow. We love scams.
We love them.
If you have any, like, historic scam that you're obsessed with, if something happened in your hometown, if your grandmother was unfortunately scammed, like, message us, call us. Also, if there's any, like, updates or you have any insider information on any of the scams we covered,
if you want to correct us, but in a nice way.
Yeah, in a nice way.
Yeah.
We are scam fans. We are not scam experts.
Yeah, don't scam-splain us, but if you're going to do it in a nice way, that's fine.
We're incredibly sensitive scam fans.
Yes. So you can email us at scamwildpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave a voicemail.
Ooh,
for us.
We're so fancy.
Oh my God. The number is 347-509-9414. Again, it is 347-509-9414. So again, leave us like a message of your scam stories.
Yes.
And we'll play it.
We want to hear. We're all a part of this together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we hope, and may you not be scammed this week.
Yes.
I wish that for you.
I wish that for you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.